Hello, I'm Donna Gaines. Welcome back. Bethany and I are delighted that you are joining us for session four, the last session of Choose Wisely, Live Fully. And we are going to be looking at intimacy, loyalty, the crown of beauty, and how to be blessed and happy. So let's start with intimacy. In fact, Proverbs 3:32 says, "For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright." And I love that. You know, it's interesting. Ken Geyer, in one of his books, points out that the disciples fell away from Christ in reverse order of their intimacy. John, who said he was the disciple that Jesus loved, is actually the only one we see at the cross and is the one that Christ entrusts his mother to. So we see the importance of intimacy in helping us be those strong women, those wise women that have strength of soul and courage and stand firm against whatever the world throws our way. Right. And, you know, Bethany, we've talked so often about another book that's been a favorite of mine. And if you guys have figured it out now, I love to read, and I'm constantly giving books to my girls. Mm-hmm. But Henry Cloud's book, Safe People, has just been so powerful for all of us, because a woman who has her intimate need, her need to be genuinely loved, when she's got that intimacy with Jesus Christ and the Lord, she can become a safe person. And I love the three things he says about a safe person. Number one, they draw us closer to God, they draw us closer to others, and they help us become the person God created us to be. In other words, that person helps draw out in you. And I've often been amazed sometimes at how the Lord will grant me insight into a person, and he almost lets you just see who it is he's created them to be. You see strengths and you see gifts in them, and you help call forth that person, which is what we were talking about in the last session, in encouraging words and building others up, not letting any unwholesome word come out of our mouth. When you think about a friend, how can all of us be that safe person for somebody else?
I think that you touched on it. I asked this, when you're looking for friends, you can ask, does this person make me want to know Christ more intimately? But then flip that on yourself. Do I make others want to know Christ more intimately? Yeah. And I think for younger girls especially, the second point about drawing us closer to others, that there's no need to hoard a friendship for yourself or be jealous of your friend having other friends.
Or create a clique, not let anybody in.
That's right. That's right. When you have your intimacy met in Christ, you do not suck the life out of your relationships anymore. You are able to pour into others what the Lord has been pouring into you and teaching you. And I think that it reminds me of a quote by Fred Rogers. Oh. And you have been very good. Going back to when I was talking about the way that you were so encouraging to us growing up, you were able, it's not like that you looked over all of our faults, because you definitely pointed out sinful tendencies in our hearts that we needed to make right with the Lord. But you did a really good job of calling forth our strengths so that we were able to take those in stride. And Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood said that, "I believe that appreciation is a holy thing, that when we look for what's best in a person we happen to be with at that moment, we're doing what God does all the time. So in loving and appreciating our neighbor, we're participating in something sacred." And I love the thought that, you know, it's easy to see the bad in people. It's a lot harder to see the good until you make it a habit. And coming alongside people in their sanctification process and encouraging them is just such a wonderful thing to do. And you can do that when you're a safe person. When you have your intimacy, your deepest needs met in Christ, you can be that fountain of blessing and encouragement to your spouse, to your family, to your friends, because we are not dried up needing that affirmation and intimacy with imperfect humans that can't give it to us.
Yeah. When Christ has filled my cup, then I'm able to love you out of the overflow, because my needs for intimacy are met. And I've often envisioned it almost like a beggar with an empty cup. When we haven't had the Lord to fill up our cup, then we're going around to every other person, every relationship, trying to get them to fill our cup. Right. And then we're frustrated when they don't, when they don't meet our needs. And you're exactly right. We literally suck the life out of those relationships. Mm-hmm. And it actually pushes people away.
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of people that you really have a hard time being around, because you leave their presence feeling depleted.
Yes.
Not encouraged and inspired and lifted up. And we should leave people lifted up and wanting to know Jesus more intimately. In fact, when they're in our presence, they should experience the presence of Christ.
Right.
Because he should be so evident in our lives if we're really an accurate reflection of him to a lost world. It makes me think about Abraham and Sarah. and how the second time he threw her under the bus and told her to act like she was his sister.
Yeah.
And Abimelech takes her into his harem, and God wakes him in the middle of the night and said, "You're a dead man if you touch that woman." Because why? God had just visited them and said, a year from now, she's going to have the promised one,
right,
that Isaac is going to be born. A year from now, I will visit you, and Sarah will have given birth to a son. And so God was protecting Sarah to fulfill his promise to Abraham. And so when he told Abimelech to give Sarah back, and what did he say? "I'm innocent. I haven't touched her. You know,
right.
I'll give her back." And he did. And what did God say? "Give her to Abraham. He's my prophet, and he will pray for you." And Abraham prayed for them, and God blessed his wives, and he opened their wombs, and he blessed Abimelech because he obeyed God. Abraham wasn't acting very prophetly.
Right.
I mean, so often I've thought that, wow, God, you called him a prophet, mm-hmm, and you had him pray for this king, and yet God saw him as he had created him to be and as he would one day be. Because when God calls on him then to offer that promised son as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, Abraham willingly does it. In fact, Hebrews tells us he fully believed that if God had him go through with it, God would raise him from the dead, that God was that powerful but also that faithful to his promises. And I just love that. That's such an example to me that if we will pray for someone, especially if it's your children,
right,
God will give you wisdom and insight into your children,
right,
and how he's created them to be and the gifts he's given them and the person he's calling them to be.
Right.
And you literally come alongside the Holy Spirit and help call that person,
right,
into being. And it resonates with our spirit because God's wired us that way.
Right, right. I've heard it said that often what you speak over your children is what they will become. And that's, you know, not in any weird way, but when you are speaking about the strengths that you see in them and you're speaking life over them and you're speaking scripture over them, that's what they're going to become. But when we are pointing out, you know, the bad and the ugly in our children or friends or anybody, you know, that just shows that you're really not being a safe person and you're,
exactly,
not coming alongside the Lord in their sanctification process.
Exactly. I agree completely. When we talk about loyalty, you know, wisdom would be a loyal friend. Wisdom would be that safe person,
right,
that friend that,
right,
we would feel safe with, that we would enjoy being around. But folly would be a mean girl.
Right. Yes.
And we all have met a mean girl a time or two, mm-hmm, especially in school. But, you know, there can be mean girls that are adults as well. And how would you encourage, especially young women today, to develop into a safe person and be that loyal friend instead of a mean girl?
Instead of a mean girl, yes. Goodness, I feel like this is one of those things that transcends age, but especially to younger girls, not to let your worth and your value be tied up in what other mean girls may be saying about you, or it may not. And this, I think a lot of times it's not like it is on the movies where people are just coming, yeah, to your face and being straight up mean. A lot of times it's just subtly leaving you out,
right,
talking about you behind your back.
Yeah.
And so all of those things, not letting that determine your value, knowing what the Lord says about you, that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are his. And in turn, you can pick a different friend. You
That's
know,
right.
We don't always have to, people seem, right, to flock to the mean girls or the popular girls, but you can pick a different friend to be loyal to, and you can use it as a learning experience of what kind of friend you want to be and what kind of woman you want to be.
Absolutely.
Because like we said, if you're not maturing spiritually, you can, mean girls aren't just in middle school. They're,
yeah,
all the way, you know, up into old age.
And you so, still find old ladies that can be mean girls.
Right, yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, if they haven't grown in love with the, mm-hmm, Lord. So we want to be loyal in friendship and faithful and true and a safe place, mm-hmm, for our friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God says he blesses the wise woman with the crown of beauty, and we will be rewarded with that crown of righteousness one day when we stand before the Lord. And so it's just a reminder to me to live every day for that day, mm-hmm, to live with a kingdom perspective, with eternity in view. In fact, somebody posted recently, live like life like your terminal, you are.
Right.
But live like life like your eternal, because you are. And we are. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. So we know that all that we invest in here, we want to invest in those things that are eternal. That's the word of God, the souls of men, women, and boys and girls, and prayer, because it's tangible in heaven. So I want to invest in those things that are eternal and know that God will grant me that crown of beauty, and that consequently I will literally be blessed and happy.
Right, right.
Because I'm living according to the word of God.
Right.
So how would you encourage women to live for the eternal?
I think living for the eternal is the only way that we are going to be blessed and happy. And I think that our world, just like I said earlier, our world's really loud and it screams at us to look for happiness in self-care, yeah, in it, doing anything for yourself. And I'm not saying that those things are bad things.
Right.
You were a wonderful, very selfless mom, but you still took care of yourself.
Right.
You worked out. You had time alone. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I feel like our society as a whole is so obsessed right now with self-care and self and individualism and all of that when God created us for community and to be looking out for other people and not just for self. So I think it's safe to say that when you're focused on self, you're not going to be blessed and happy. But the way to being blessed and happy is focusing on eternal things, which, like you said, it's God's word, prayer, and the souls of the relationships, people around you.
Yeah. In fact, I was reading a survey recently or a study that had been done, and I believe, you know, I've been reading so many books recently because we're actually writing Bible study as well.
Right.
So I'm trying to remember what I read it in. I think it was an Ann Voskamp book, The Broken Way.
Yeah.
But she was talking about a study that her husband found that if you did three nice things for somebody else, you served somebody, that you were happier, that you had a better outlook on life. Mm-hmm. And so she was just thinking about that, and the whole thing of the broken way is giving yourself away. And
right.
that is exactly what Christ has called us to, because he's called us to the crucified life. Mm-hmm. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm literally living my life for him and through him, I'm not going to be easily offended. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to gossip about somebody else. In fact, what would I do? I never interrupted when y'all had friends over, unless
someone started talking ugly about someone, and you would shut that down quickly. I mean,
I
you would just come out and say, girls, we're not going to talk like that. And I think it's very big thing for me to know that I really never heard you speaking negatively about people growing up. And that was such a stark contrast when I would maybe go to a friend's house, and a lot of times all you hear other women or moms talking about are talking poorly about other people. And that's just such a toxic and negative environment to be in. And I'm so thankful that I grew up in a home where the normal conversation was not just putting others down. You know, that was just not, there was no place for that in our conversation. You did not let that continue.
There's too many good things to focus on and too many things that need to be done
right.
without having to tear somebody else down.
Right.
And we know, once again, you're going to reap what you sow. And so we don't want to do that. And I can remember driving, remember my big van?
Oh, yes.
My big mommy mobile.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you moms, be the one that volunteers to drive. Open your house to have the kids over. Yes, it's going to be an investment in food and those kinds of things, but I would do that. And that way, when I'm driving, I'd just be very quiet. And that's why you learn so much about your children, about their friends. But then also, when they would come to the house, I would pull out all the stops. We'd open the pantry, we'd pull things out of the refrigerator, we'd whip up a batch of brownies or make some cookies and sit at the table. And Bethany's friends, literally, there were five of them. So I was number six at the table for six in the kitchen.
We all had our same spot. Right.
Like every single time
right.
we went to the same spot. And, you know, it's so sweet to look back on that and mm-hmm. think about all the conversations we had and
right.
the trips that we went on. And in fact, one of your friends is married to somebody now because we convinced her she needed to break up with her old boyfriend.
Remember that? That's right.
Because he wasn't seeking the Lord and he wasn't living for Christ. And so you get to have those kinds of deep relationships and conversations that really impact a person's life when you spent time with them.
Right.
But it takes time.
It does.
It's an investment of time.
Right.
I just encourage you moms that have children at home or you disciple makers. Discipleship is really life on life. It is spending time with people so that you find out what's important to them. You find out about their background. You're able to help them pray through issues and help them grow in Christ-likeness and grow in their love for and knowledge of the Word of God. And as they fall in love with the Word of God, they have everything they need, the Bible tells us, for life and godliness. And so as you take what you're learning and you pour it into someone else, God blesses you with even more. So it's not just the finances, but it's your time. It's the knowledge God has given you in the Word of God as he's pouring into you and as he's giving you revelation. And that's the beauty of it too. Obedience precedes blessing, but obedience also precedes greater revelation. So if I'm wanting to know Christ in an even deeper and a more intimate way, the way I get to do that is obeying the Word of God that I actually understand right now. And for most of us, it's not that we don't know enough. It's that we're not obeying enough. We're not submitting ourselves to the Word of God and obeying what we know about God's Word. We're giving into the flesh because that's that constant battle between the spirit and the flesh. But I am just here to tell you, I've lived long enough to be able to look back and see God's word is faithful. He is true to His word. And if we will obey His word, we really do reap what we sow. He really does bless obedience. And He will allow us to be a wise woman if we will immerse ourselves in His word and make decisions based on the word of God. And then it's so important that you have other women around you who love the Lord and who are striving to know Him more intimately and to memorize and meditate upon His word and to study it together. God created us for community. We need each other. And if you will find community in like-minded heart sisters, is what I like to call them. They're friends of the heart. Women who love the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you begin to pray for a friend like that, God will bring you one. If He delays, it's simply because He's helping you become that friend so that you're ready when He brings you that heart friend, so that you can be that safe person that God desires for you to be. For this session, my daughter Allie is going to share a testimony, so you'll get to hear her now.
Hey, I'm Allie. I'm Steve and Donna's middle daughter, and I'm also a pastor's wife and the mother of four kids, and we live in South Arkansas, where we just moved in February, right before all of the COVID-19 sheltering in place took effect. So as you can imagine, moving to a new place and starting over at a new church where my husband pastors, plus shutting down the church like a month later and not being able to go very many places and staying home. This has been a very strange season for me, and it's been a strange season for all of us as we're enduring this worldwide pandemic, and it's been a crazy, scary time in a lot of ways. And I hope that this video finds you well. I hope that you are feeling the Lord's presence. I hope that you are just enjoying your time with your family, this extended time that we've had to slow down and to really change our pace of life. And to be more careful in a lot of ways, but also to be caring for one another in different ways than we normally would. And I hope that in our discussion today that we can kind of discuss ways that we can be loyal and Christ-like, whether it be times of a pandemic or whether it be just normal everyday life. I want to spend a few minutes to talk with you about ways that I'm trying to do this in my life with my young children and within our church, and just ways that the Lord has taught me on the topic of loyalty in my life before this. So on the topic of loyalty, I was really helped by a quote that Mom includes in the book. It's on page 148, and she's quoting Hayley DeMarco from her book Mean Girls. The quote says, "Love is about giving, not getting. Love is about caring, not being cared for. Love is about helping, not being helped. Love reaches outside itself and gives to others. Love isn't concerned with self. It is concerned with others. The love that God commands is pure, holy, and untainted by self-gratification." This definition, I hope it convicts you as much as it convicts me. Obviously, I mentioned I have four kids. Having kids shows you a depth of love that you never experienced before, but it also shows you a depth of selfishness within your own heart that maybe you never realized was there before. Whenever you have a child, have a newborn, you have to take care of every single need. As a mom, you physically are meeting all of these needs for them. If you're nursing, if you're getting up at night with a crying baby, whatever it might be, there are so many ways that you're giving of yourself all the time. And being a mom has really showed me how Christ cares for me, even in my most vulnerable, weak state. He is there for me, and He will never leave me or forsake me. I have been so comforted by that, that the love that I have for my kids and the ways that I serve my kids on a daily basis, that's just a tiny picture of what Christ has done for me and continues to do for me every single day. So I'm so encouraged by that, and I hope that you are as well. But as we talk about being a loyal friend, we have a choice. As this whole book shows us, there's always a choice in whether you're choosing godliness or you're choosing selfishness that is sin. And in service and loving others, we choose how we're going to order our day, how we're going to spend our time, how we're going to spend our money. And so many of those ways, we really do choose selfish things. We choose to spend our time on what matters to us. We choose to spend our money on what comforts us, what is good for us, what we think we want or need. And we can choose to fill our day with a lot of things that really aren't necessary. I think, if anything, this COVID-19 season has taught me that there were a lot of things that I thought I really needed that I didn't really need. And I hope that it's been the same for you, of really paring down and thinking through what really does have eternal significance and value and what doesn't. And I want to be the kind of friend, I want to be the kind of mom and wife and loved one who is loyal, who is constant, and who is loving and is self-sacrificing. I want to love others as Christ has loved me. And we know ultimately He laid down His life for us, for His sheep. And if we're trusting in Christ Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us to do every good work that he's called us to his the praise of his glory. And I hope that you are using this time to look at ways that you can be serving and being a blessing to others around you, as Christ has blessed us in so many countless ways. I hope that this is a time that you're really trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are not going to be doing this perfectly. I feel like I have to clarify. I'm not just like always on all the time and always so kind to my kids and always the perfect neighbor or church member or pastor's wife. Of course not. That is not the case at all. But I want to be striving, to be growing in these areas. And I want to be trying every more for the Lord to increase and for myself to be decreasing. And that is a daily struggle. It is really hard to be saying no to sin and to flesh and to selfishness and saying yes to Jesus and submission and sacrificing and serving others. Ultimately, we know that loyalty is a choice. You can choose to be faithful. You can choose to be there for other people and to serve others, not wanting anything in return, as Christ has loved us and has laid down his life for us. So we are called to love others and to serve others. And that is such a challenge for us. It's not natural for us, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to obey this call in our lives to be loving and gracious to others and to serve others and to be desiring what is best for other people. And I hope that this encourages you. I hope that you are able to look for opportunities in the midst of all of this pandemic to be really serving others and reaching out and being the tangible hands and feet of Christ. And I pray that you will choose to trust and obey the Lord, and that you will just allow yourself to be a vessel that the Lord works through, and that you will impact your community and your family for his kingdom and his glory by your loyalty for Christ.
Thank you, Allie. It's been so fun to have my daughters as part of this project. Bethany, thank you for
letting me join.
And thank you for joining us for the study of Proverbs 1 through 9, Choose Wisely, Live Fully. It has been a delight to have you with us. You know, the Bible is very clear. There are two trees, two choices, two paths, and two voices. Whose voice will you be listening to? You know, the great news, the good news of the gospel is that one day there literally will be no end to our happily ever after. And my hope and desire is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I don't want to assume that you do. You know, I ended the first session with the Cinderella story and basically shared the story of the gospel. And it's the truth. The King of the universe, God, has sent an invitation out to every single person. And that invitation is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is to come to know him as your Lord and Savior. Because all these things that we've been talking about, the brokenness in relationship, is all a result of sin. It's all a result of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. And now we all inherit a sin nature. We all choose to be disobedient, to break God's laws. And when we do that, we're separated from God. But Jesus Christ, knowing we could never be good enough to earn our way into heaven, came and put on flesh, lived a sinless life, and died in my place and in your place. Because the Bible is clear. Just as Adam and Eve died first spiritually and then physically, the wages, the paycheck of sin is death. And all of us are facing death physically, but then eternally apart from Jesus Christ. But Jesus came, living that sinless life and dying in my place and your place on the cross. He was buried, but God raised him up on the third day, the day we just celebrated recently as we celebrated Easter, Resurrection Day. He became the first fruit of the grave, the first one to come out in a glorified body, showing us what we one day will be if we belong to him. If you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, it is simply recognizing and acknowledging that you're a sinner, that you're separated, and crying out to him and asking him to save you. The Bible's clear. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call on his name right now? I would be so honored to lead you in a prayer of commitment. And you need to know God's not just listening to the words. He's looking at your heart. Pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and that I'm separated from you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I repent. I turn away from my sinful way of living, and I turn to you through Christ. Would you forgive me, and would you save me? And I thank you for all that Jesus did, living and dying, being buried and raised back to life, that I might experience eternal life with you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now fill me with your Spirit and help me to live for you every day until the day I see you face to face. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and made that commitment to Jesus Christ, I hope you'll share it with someone. We'd love to hear about it here at Bellevue Baptist Church. But please share it with someone. Let someone know. And then get into a Bible-believing church where you can study the Word of God and you can come to know Him intimately, just like we've been talking about. Find some like-minded friends, some other women who are seeking Christ as well, and grow in your knowledge and love for Him. He really is the answer to every question you have and every need you might experience. Find happiness and blessing now and forever in Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.